So this lady would seem to be a great candidate for ruxolitinib. Can you talk a little bit about sort of how she was feeling at the time you started the ruxolitinib, and in your own mind, kind of what you were expecting? Were you expecting that she was going to feel a lot better?
So this lady is single and she's actually deaf, so she signs. And she was, I would say, pretty depressed when she came to see me. She just didn't feel that, you know, her life wasn't really of the kind of quality she was expecting. She had lost weight. She had a very negative body image. She hated her arms. They were too skinny. She was a woman who was previously really active. She ran, but she didn't have the energy to run. And, you know, life was pretty grim for her. She had a smattering of other symptoms as well, a little bit of itch, a little bit of sweating, but it was really the weight loss, the skin rash, etc. And she had fatigue too. By this time, I had quite a lot of experience of using ruxolitinib for these patients, and I looked at her, and although she had some anemia, it wasn't profound anemia. So it was, you know, if that was a patient with myelofibrosis, I maybe wouldn't have called them anemic. So her hemoglobin was around 110. So it's low for a patient with PV, but it's not low for a patient with MF.
Incidentally, how does 110 convert to the way we measure hemoglobin in
Oh,
the US?
11.
11? Okay, great.
So we just converted over to using grams per liter, but I can do it in grams per deciliter if you like.
Whatever.
It plays havoc with her. We have a great system in the hospital that allows us to track blood counts longitudinally and graph them for patients, which they love, but they hate the hemoglobin one because it's just changed by a log. But anyway, there we go. I'm a huge fan of showing my patients their blood counts and motivating them in that way. I think it's very helpful. So in my view, she was a female. She didn't have very, very advanced disease. I was really confident we could address weight loss with ruxolitinib because, as we know, a kind of a side effect of that drug is weight gain. And I felt very optimistic we could improve most things. As I said, I wasn't really sure that we could improve the skin rash. And also her platelet count was pretty good at that time. As I recall, it was around 300,000. So, you know, I knew that I would be able to get a good dose of ruxolitinib in her. And we started at a dose of 15 milligrams twice a day. And typically when I start a patient on ruxolitinib, the things that I warn them about are anemia, thrombocytopenia, infections. And I obviously didn't warn her well enough about infections, as we'll come to later when we discuss the case in a bit more detail. And I also warn them about running out of the tablet and not to stop it.
Could I just ask how you normally dose a patient initially? What caused you to use 15 milligrams on her?
Yeah, so if you thought about her profile and thought about her platelet count over 300,000, you know, you might have used 20 milligrams twice a day for a patient like that. However, she's quite petite. And I'm kind of mindful of the data from the COMFORT studies that actually many patients ended up on a dose of 15 milligrams BID or 10 milligrams BID. The other reason I did that with this lady was actually she was going away on holiday. And I knew I wasn't going to be able to see her for 3 or 4 weeks. I wanted to start her because I could see how negative things were for her. And, you know, she was otherwise fit and well. She was with other people. She could access medical care. But normally I like to see my patients 2 weeks after they start because occasionally I've had patients really plummet their hemoglobin and their platelet count.
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned advising her about not running out of pills. How long does it take to see symptoms come back in somebody who's had symptom relief?
So, in my experience, symptoms usually come back after a few days when patients have missed their tablets. I had one patient who called me from the airport in London to say, "Hi, Claire, I'm just about to get on a flight to New York and I left my ruxolitinib tablets on the train." And he was on 25 milligrams BID. And I was like, "Oh, how long are you going to be in New York for? Just a long weekend." So, you know, he probably got away with it actually. But typically, as we look at the COMFORT 1 data, which is really great for assessing this because the patients were recording their symptoms every single day, we could see a return to baseline after about 7 days. And some swing a little bit beyond baseline and then back again. The other thing is, of course, if patients have been on ruxolitinib for a long time and then they interrupt their therapy, the patient's disease may well have been progressing but that might have been masked by ruxolitinib. So it could well be that their symptoms are going to come back, either worse than they remember them being, or worse than they were at baseline because their disease has been kind of slowly but quietly progressing underneath the benefit of the drug.
So what happened with this lady?
So she took the drug and she had an excellent response. To my great relief, the skin rash recovered. Spleen has normalized and I saw her a couple of weeks ago. She's 4 years on the drug now.
Wow.
Spleen's gone. She's running. She feels great. She's gained weight, but she's overshot a bit with her weight. So she's really careful about that. And she's very health conscious and we're health conscious for her. So, you know, we're keeping an eye on her blood pressure and her cholesterol, etc.